Okay, I think everything's working here at the studio. No adult supervision. Gonna have a little fun today. We're gonna do some fun shit. We're gonna talk about movies and whatever else. May not be a lot of ranting about statism and anarchy today. That's what you came for. You might be in the wrong place. We are gonna talk about superhero movies, and we're gonna talk about science fiction. We're gonna talk about Logan's Run, TV series. We're talking about the Avengers movies. Watching Doctor Strange movie right now. We're going to talk about that. Talk about some other stuff. But until then, we're going to groove. We're going to groove to one of my favorite songs. You've heard it before, but I can do what I want because it's my podcast. And thus, we are going to listen to Superheated, the extended remix by New Order. One of the guys I work with the other day, he says, "You like New Order?" Because I was listening to New Order. He's like, I'm like, yeah. He says, "I would have never thought that." I'm like, what, you think I don't know good music when I hear it? It's New fucking Order. One of the best bands ever. And yes, in the future, I'm going to be playing more different music as intros to stating the obvious. I know I was doing that for a while and stopped doing it. That's because we just had to figure out technical shit. Anyhow, it's coming. You're going to get to hear more of what I consider to be good music in my ever-present attempts to educate you people. Because I know some of you out there probably think the Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears and Justin Bieber are actually music. Oh God, and some of you might even listen to Beyonce. Oh, kill me now. Tell me that you, tell me you're not shaking your groove thing right now. You know you are. Sometimes I wake up and the sky is gray. When you're not here by my side, I see your makeup. I still want to know why her makeup is at his house. No, she doesn't listen. She's a woman. Women don't listen. They're not evolved to listen. Throughout the evolution of the human species, women never needed to listen. They don't have that capacity. My grandmother would say, you can wish in one hand, shit in the other, see which one fills up first. She's pretty fucking smart for a chick, let me tell you what. This would be good fucking music. Oh no, it's never the woman's fault. No, she couldn't possibly. She couldn't have anything to do with it. It's always the man's fault. And you didn't do the dishes before you left. Yeah, they always say they're gonna leave, but they always come back because they need child support, alimony, welfare, WIC, food stamps. Yeah, they're strong and independent. Yeah, I'm gonna go leave. I'm gonna go do my own thing. I'm a strong, independent woman. Really? How come you're knocking on my fucking door at 5 o'clock in the morning? Not that that's ever happened to me. Oh no, no, no insane woman has ever beat on my door at 5 o'clock in the morning because she's homeless. Told you guys that story. Yes, I am drinking a delicious beer from Funkworks Brewery. It's only beginning. This is the beginning of today's episode of Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launched the cruise missile, my intellect, because I am the great one himself. I am the founder, Cynical Libertarian Society. Founded in 1999, podcasting for 12 years, November the 1st will be the 13th anniversary, 13th birthday. Stating the Obvious podcast will be 13 years old. Yes, I will accept presents. I prefer cash. I prefer Bitcoin. But if you want to send me presents, if you want to send me, a large box of unmarked $100 bills, or if you want to send me some volleyball girls, or if you want to send me some redheads, or if you're a hot chick and you just want to come on by and bang my brains out for 13 years of Stating the Obvious, totally okay with every bit of that. You can send me email at God, dog spelled backwards, G-O-D at CYNLIBSOC.com. Speaking of things, before this stuff slips my mind, let me throw out some quickies here, because I like quickies. They say, well, you busted a nut in 7 seconds. Well, I can't get anything out of that. I'm saying, yeah, but I did. I mean, the sooner I bust a nut, the sooner I can go back to doing something else that doesn't involve you. So when women talk about, well, you came too quick. Well, it didn't come too fast for me. Shit, you're a strong, independent woman. Motherfucking get yours. Shit, what do you need me for? I thought you didn't need a man. I want to hear this shit from you, honey. All right. Oh. The Bitcoin billionaire. Talked about him. The Bitcoin billionaire. Just a little side story from all of that. So he lives out in a place that I consider to be a shithole. We won't mention where it is. Yes, we will. It's called St. Louis. I've only been to St. Louis once. So, limited experience. And I was in St. Louis many years ago. But man, when I was in downtown St. Louis, oh, the place was a shithole. I was like, yeah, this is a shithole. But he's contemplating leaving St. Louis and living somewhere else. And of the places he's contemplating is the People's Republic of Fort Collins. And now, of course, he is anarchist and he is familiar. He listens to Stefan Molyneux and all this other stuff. And he and I have many of the same opinions. However, as we went through our time together, I discovered some critical things about him that make me think, how in the fuck can you be an anarchist? And more importantly, you should just go ahead and move to Colorado, to the People's Republic of Fort Collins, because you would fit in here perfectly. Okay. First of all, he smokes weed. We all know where the great one stands on weed. There's weed everywhere here. So he fucking smokes weed. So there's your first way to fit in. Secondly, he likes traffic circles. We're driving along and we're coming to this traffic circle. I'm like, oh, he has another these fucking traffic circles they're building. Fucking city's putting these fucking traffic circles all over the city. I like traffic circles. Like, how the fuck can you like traffic circles? They're a goddamn disaster. Especially if you're on a bicycle, because Fort Collins has this thing where we're still bicycle friendly in Fort Collins. You ever try to ride your bicycle through a traffic circle? Now, maybe if the traffic circle actually has bike lanes in it, it might work. But here, none of the traffic circles have bicycle lanes in them. They shrink the lane down so that it's one car wide. So you have to merge in with the fucking traffic and get killed. There's no fucking bike lane going around the traffic circle. I fucking hate traffic circles. Partially for that reason, and partially because the other dumb people don't know how to use the traffic circles. The best one, and this one's actually not in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, this one is in the nearby, well, it's actually a sort of no man's land between a town called Windsor and a town called Loveland. It's this place where you get off at the interstate, and then you're going to hit the main road, you hit a traffic circle, which then goes right into a traffic circle, which then goes under the interstate and goes right into a traffic circle. It's three traffic circles. And when I say the one traffic circle goes into the next traffic circle, I'm not saying you come out of the traffic circle and drive down a little stretch of straight road. No, you go out of a traffic circle into a fucking traffic circle. And then you go into another fucking traffic circle. Like, what the fuck? Who designed this shit? I hate them. So anyway, he loves traffic circles. All right, you fit right in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. He smokes dope. All right, you fit right in the People's Republic of Fort Collins. He's a vegetarian. If you preach to me, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. He's a vegetarian, fits right in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, and he drives a fucking hybrid. Oh my God. And Bitcoin billionaire, if you ever listen to this, it's all good natured, but you just move to Fort Collins. Because other than not being a fucking left-wing statist social justice warrior, which everybody in this town is, other than that, you fit right in. Smoking dope while driving your hybrid through the traffic circle to go to a vegetarian restaurant. You cannot get any more Fort Collins than that right there. Another little announcement while it's on my brain, and by the time you hear this podcast, which I realize, so I'm looking at things, this is what happens when I get left on my own to fucking organize and coordinate shit. I realized that I have two more episodes of Stating the Obvious in the can that I didn't post yet. So right now I'm posted all the way up to 14th of August. But with the two more episodes, that covers 16 and 18 August, which means the episode you are listening to right now that I'm recording right now is going to come out on 21 August, which means I am almost up to my goal of covering to the 23rd of August. Thought I had more to do. Oh, but wait, whoa, see, I'm so confused. All right, no, I got two episodes in the can. That's 16 and 18. I got two more episodes. All I have to do is the final touches on the audio edit and export and then upload. That's 21 and 23 August. And the one one I'm recording right now that you're listening to, this is going to come out on the 25th of August. I'm covered. I'm covered through my fucking busy season. I'm still, later today, after I do this episode, I'm going to go out, grab the camera, go outside, because it's nice and overcast outside. It's been raining, and it's beautiful fucking weather, so I'm going to grab the camera, go out, see if I can find some college girls to get shot down by, take some pictures, shit like that. Then I'm going to come back, and my intention is to record one more episode, and then I got to get all this shit on the website and scheduled and posted and do show notes and add the photos and all that other stuff. And thus the photos brings me to this. By the time I say this, you'll already know what's happening. I'm going to shake things up a little bit. Yeah, it's time for some change, some hope and some change and some forward. We're going to make the Cynical Libertarian Society great again. Oh, shit. I got to remember to... Fuck, I was going to do that before I started recording. Hang on. I got to write something down. Still here. All right, there we go. Wrote that down. That'll give me a nice little bit of silence, too, to do my noise removal. Where was I going? Other than hell, if I don't change my ways. Oh, yeah. Shaking things up. Change. Hope. Change. Forward. Revitalizing the Republican Party. Remember Ross Perot? I was only running to revitalize the Republican Party. The Republican Party has now revitalized itself, so I'm dropping out of the race. Oh, God, moron. Anyway, where was I going? Oh, yes! God damn it. This is my brain on podcasting. As you know, the great one, 3 days a week, brings you the volleyball girls. Well, it's not that the great one is necessarily tired of volleyball girls, because you can't get tired of volleyball girls, but the great one is going to shake things up a little bit. We're going to add some more stuff to the mix. So here's what we're going to do. Mondays, because it's Monday, Monday is going to be Volleyball Girl Monday. You're going to get your volleyball girl picture on Monday. Now, Wednesday, hump day, right? You got to get through the rest of the week for those of you who work in cubicles. Wednesday is going to be fantasy girl hump day. By fantasy girls, we mean... Hang on. I'm contemplating if I'm going to sneeze or not. I think it might happen. Whoa. All right. A couple of thousand brain cells just came out of my nose. But because I'm such a nice guy, I paused the recording so you didn't have to hear that. Whew. Wednesday is going to be Fantasy Girl Hump Day. It's going to be fantasy girls, like girls who don't really exist, like Supergirl, my fantasy, whom I've talked about and whom, no, I have not yet banged in my dreams, unfortunately. I did have a dream about that other chick, though, but she flaked on me in the dream. I wonder if I maybe should message her. I don't know. Because maybe that was like a sign. Maybe her appearing in my dream and then flaking out on me says that I should message her and ask her if she wants to go out so that she can say yes and then flake out on me. So Wednesday is Fantasy Girl Hump Day. Initially, it'll be a lot of Supergirl photos, but we'll see what else shows up. And then Friday, as you will already know by the time you hear this podcast, Friday is a sad, sad day for the listeners to the Great One himself, because that means you have to go Saturday and Sunday without anything from me. You don't get another podcast until Monday. That's 48 hours without the wisdom and the guidance and the humor and the awesomeness and the humility of the Great One himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, who has been podcasting for 12 years. Have you been podcasting for 12 years? I don't think you have. Therefore, because you need something to get you through the weekend, Friday is going to be Redhead Friday. Because, let's be honest, volleyball girls are great and Supergirl is hot, but when you get right down to it, there's nothing better than a redhead. Redheads are the answer to everything. Doesn't matter what the question is, redheads are the answer. No matter how fucking miserable and unhappy your life is, if you have a redhead, you can't be that unhappy. It's impossible. Redheads make everything better. They are the solution. World, you know, world peace. If we could just fly over all the countries where there's all these wars and problems and shit and just drop redheads out of airplanes, problems would be over. Everything would be solved. These guys would be all fighting and shooting each other. Suddenly redheads fall down from the sky. It's like, okay, so I can keep shooting at other people and getting shot at, or I can hang out with this hot redhead. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Who would not want to hang out with a hot redhead? Once again, the Great One solves all the problems on the planet Earth. But no, don't listen to me. I have no idea what I'm talking. You just keep on fucking killing people with missiles launched from flying robots. Keep shooting people and all this others. Just keep being dumbasses. Don't listen to me. I don't know anything. Redheads, the final solution. Oh, damn. Speaking of final solutions, I thought of this the other day because, of course, Patreon is still a thing. You know, you right-wingers who sign up for Patreon accounts and donate to Patreon, a right-winger using Patreon is like a Jew asking the Nazi government to hold his gold. But remember what the Great One said. Just because you voted for Donald Trump doesn't mean you're smart. All right. Let's talk about movies. Let's talk about television series. First of all, let's jump on this one. Logan's Run. Now, I've talked about the movie Logan's Run in the past. Highly recommend you watch it. It's got some slow moments, and it's got some stuff where, you know, like any movie made back in the 70s, it's got room for, well, like any movie ever made for the most part, it's got some room for improvement. But it's a damn good piece of science fiction. After, I'm trying to remember, when did this come out? Did I write that down in my notes? No, of course I did not. Do I have... here we go. Let me start up a web browser. I want to say Logan's Run came out... The TV series came out after Star Wars. Because, of course, Star Wars happened and suddenly everybody wanted science fiction. Right? Science fiction is a little here and a little there and a little somewhere else. And then Star Wars happened. And then fucking everybody shit themselves for science fiction, right? Which in a way was good too, of course, that Star Wars happened because it made everybody up their game. Alien is one of my favorite movies ever and one of the greatest movies ever made. And anytime I find a documentary about Alien, I always watch it. And thus, from watching every fucking documentary I can find... I know that there's the book, let's see, there's the movie, Logan's Run film, Logan's Run TV series. Oh no, alright, Logan's Run TV series, 1977 and 1978. Okay, because Star Wars came out in 1979. If I remember correctly. No, wait, no, didn't Star Wars, we're finding out. Star Wars, really? Wait, 1977? Oh, wait, okay, it was Alien that came out in 1979. Anyhow, where I was going with that thought was that one of the reasons Alien turned out to be such a good movie is because Star Wars came along right before it, because in the documentaries they're talking about, you know, we were gearing up for Alien and blah, blah, and then Star Wars happened, and suddenly science fiction went to this whole new level that it had never been at before. And... you know, like before Star Wars, Alien could have been made as this B movie with a guy in a rubber suit and really low production values and stuff. And after Star Wars, it was like, okay, you can't make shitty science fiction anymore. Like, if you're science fiction, if you can see the wires and you've got guys in rubber suits, like, no, that will never fly again. Star Wars took science fiction to a whole new level and forced everyone to up their game. which was a great thing. The beauty of competition. So Logan's run, 77 to 78. All right, so potentially, but of course you got to consider pre-production. So, I mean, production must have begun on Logan's run in 76. I would guess. I could probably do research and find out. So Logan's run came out about the same time Star Wars was hitting, the TV series. The movie came out in 76. Oh, gee, that's actually a short turnaround between the series and the movie. Interesting. Anyhow, Logan's Run, the movie, wonderful piece of science fiction. If you like science fiction, you need to watch the fucking movie. The TV series, don't do it. Just, once again, I am taking the bullet so that you don't have to take the bullet. Now, on the good side, there's a couple of hot chicks. And there's only three discs in the DVD series because there weren't that many episodes. In one of the episodes, there's this hottie named Lisa Eilbacher, Eilbacher. I'm probably mutilating her name. And according to the interwebs, she was also in Beverly Hills Cop. She was the hot chick in Beverly Hills Cop, which I have not seen in ages. And I remember Beverly Hills Cop as being fucking hilarious, which means that I need to watch that movie again. What? Oh my God, really? This is always terrifying when, so I'm watching Logan's Run and I'm seeing this fucking hot ass babe. And then it's like, oh, you type her into Google and you see what she looks like today. And it's like, oh my gosh, she did not. Well, you know what though? Wait, how old is this chick? 59. When this is in, no, she was born in 56, whatever. Whenever this picture was taken, all right, she doesn't look terrible for a 60-year-old woman. Let's keep things in perspective here and just not be a total douchebag. I mean, I'm a douchebag. Well, let's just be a little bit of a douchebag. For a 60-year-old chick, she does not look unattractive. Anyhow, Lisa is in an episode of Logan's Run. And let's just say that she is hot. She is absolutely fucking stunning. Then there's, anyway, so that's the hot chicks. All right, hot chicks. Not enough hot chicks for it to be worth watching the series, trust me. And then there's the girl who co-stars with the guy who plays Logan, and she's got her Farrah Fawcett hairdo, and she's okay, but she's not that attractive. And yeah, here's Lisa. Ooh, gosh, she looks cute in that picture, too. Picture two. Yes, I'm slurring my words. I'm getting so excited. I'll throw some photos of her in the show notes, if I remember. Let me put a note. Add photos to show notes. Here's a picture of her with Eddie Murphy. So anyhow, I gotta watch Beverly Hills Cop again. Oh man, dude, she is adorable. Well, she was adorable. Oh my God. Ah, all right, anyway, let me stop fucking splooging all over the microphone. She's adorable. Logan's Run, the TV series, pretty fucking terrible. It's every cliche. So here's the first, did I write this down? Here's the first four episodes. So here's the cliches. The first episode, they encounter a city full of robots. And they don't know they're robots until they find out, oh my God, these aren't people, they're robots. And the robots want to keep us here against our will so they can serve us. Okay, well, that's not a cliche. Of course, I gotta remember, this is 1977. Maybe these weren't cliches yet, but they're sure as hell cliches now. Second episode, They're being hunted by a hunter who's hunted all these other animals, but he's bored with hunting other animals. So now he hunts humans because they're the most exciting animals to hunt. Oh my God. We've had what? 500 short stories, movies, and TV shows with that same fucking plot. Did we need another one? Third episode, an alien from another planet. Now, I don't want to go into the whole thing of Logan's Run, but Logan's Run, for those of you who don't know, the movie, it takes place in the future. There's been a nuclear war or something. Somehow or another, we don't really know in the movie, but the Earth is devastated. So the people all live in this giant city under the domes. And when you turn 30 years old, you die, you get killed when you turn 30, and another baby is born. So the population always remains exactly stable, and nobody lives past the age of 30. Okay, and that's how the city maintains itself, because everything is self-contained. As far as they know, outside is a wasteland. Nobody can survive outside. And so some people try to escape. They're called runners. They run away instead of dying when they turn 30. I'm not going to go into the details of how they die. Watch the fucking movie. You should watch the movie. And then you have these guys called sandmen who hunt down the runners. So Logan is a sandman, but he turns into a runner. I'm not going to explain how in the movie because that's a giant part of the plot, yada, yada, yada. So anyhow, but in Logan's Run, the TV series, so now Logan and Jessica are outside the city and it's not a wasteland and they can survive. And they're driving around in the car that they found, the solar-powered car. And sandmen are leaving the domed city and chasing them around, which of course goes against the entire concept of Logan's Run. Nobody would go out because it turned in the TV series. Then we got, well, there's these old people who run the city and all this other shit. And I guess you have to go find Logan and Jesse. It's like, no, in reality, once somebody left the domed city, no one would give a shit. You cannot send somebody outside of the city and let them come back in, because then it destroys the whole propaganda, right? It's just like CNN. CNN cannot let anybody find out the truth, right? It's like global warming. If anybody finds out the truth of global warming, that it doesn't exist, everything crumbles. If anybody in the domed city finds out that outside is not a fucking wasteland and you can survive out there, well then everything collapses. So the TV series Logan's Run is just filled with these absurdities, right? The domed city, even if it had a government run by old people, would not send this plethora of sandmen outside the city to chase down Logan. And Logan's out there, and everywhere he goes, people have all this fantastic technology, and why everybody's got clean buildings and clean clothing and power and electricity. And it's just like, wait, it's a fucking nuclear wasteland. Right? And so you can tell it's like trying to be Star Trek. It suffered from the same fate that Space 1999, of which season one is some of the greatest science fiction ever created in history. By the way, the four best science fiction TV series, Space 1999, season one, Doctor Who, the original, the real Doctor Who, not this fucking thing where they remade it for 14-year-old girls, and we'll have the Doctor regenerate into a woman, because not only is the Doctor bisexual, he's a tranny as well. No, the original Doctor Who, Colin Baker was the last good Doctor. I tried really hard to like Sylvester McCoy, but I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't dislike the man personally, I just don't like his Doctor. Colin Baker, despite what many people do not like Colin Baker, I think Colin Baker was the second best Doctor after William Hartnell, who was, of course, the greatest. He's the man who made it. He created it. Doctor Who, the first six Doctors. Star Trek, which Star Trek, you ask? There's only one Star Trek, the original Star Trek. Kirk, Spock, McCoy. Oh, there were other Star Treks. No, there were not. No. No. Those were dingleberries. Those were like the poop that was left on the asshole after you've wiped. Those were not Star Trek TVs. No, those were garbage. There's only one Star Trek. And then, of course, Babylon 5. How did I get there from Logan's Run? So Logan's Run is like trying to be Star Trek, right? You know, they everywhere they go, it's, oh, there's this advanced, and these people are advanced, and this is advanced, and it's trying to be very Star Trek-y, and it's, and as a result, it's terrible. Because if they would have made the Logan's Run TV series into what it had the potential to be, which was just Logan and Jessica looking for sanctuary in the United States after a nuclear war, it could have been good. Now, this is not a TV series that should have gone on for 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons or some shit, but you could have gotten easily one season, maybe two seasons out of that plot line before it was milked dry, and you would need to bring it to an end, right? Either they find sanctuary or they get killed, which would have been, you know, a good ending, because usually you don't kill off your main characters, and if they would have done so. But anyhow, there was potential, absolutely, but they blew it. Okay, so the third episode, stereotypical, aliens come to Earth, and the aliens are zookeepers, and they're collecting two of every intelligent species they come across and putting them in cages and taking them back to their planet. Once again, you've seen that Star Trek has done that, Lost in Space has done that, every fucking TV series, science fiction TV series, has fucking done that. The fourth, and this is one that had Lisa in it, they find the girl who has psychic powers. She's telekinetic, and she lives in the underground bunker with only robots, and she's never seen another human before. Once again, this story's been done, what, 200, 300 times? Now, Lisa was hot, and she's like, Logan, won't you stay here with me forever? And Logan's like, well, I can't do that. And I'm thinking, dude, are you insane? Do you not see how hot she is? Like, if she asked me, like, great one, will you stay here with me forever? I'd be like, does the fucking Pope wear a funny hat when he's shitting in the woods? You're goddamn right I'll stay here with you forever. Fucking, you couldn't fucking drag me away with a Boeing 747. Fucking, you bet your ass I'll stay here with you. I'm like, okay, so Logan is insane because there's no way I'd have left that girl. Jesus Christ. Speaking of Star Trek, so anyway, that was disc one. Disc two, I didn't write down the stories, but it was cliche. What were the stories? They were all equally cliche. Trying to even remember one of them. Oh, okay. So there was the one where the guy comes from the past before the nuclear war. He travels through time to Logan and Jessica's time because his goal is to find out what started the war so he can prevent the war. And then he goes back and he finds out that the thing that started the war that destroyed the planet Earth was him going forward in time. Right? The time traveler paradox. Oh, done 1,000 fucking times. Doctor Who did that very well in Day of the Daleks, where the rebels, in the future, the Daleks have taken over the planet Earth, and the rebels are fighting against them, and the rebels are coming back in time to try to stop the Dalek invasion of Earth. The Dalek invasion of Earth happened as a result of, there's this politician who called this conference of all these politicians from around the world, all these high-powered people, and they all came to his house, and while they were there, he blew the house up using a bomb that the Daleks provided, and the disarray and the chaos amongst the humans after that is what set the stage for the Daleks to come in and invade the Earth without a unified opposition to the Dalek invasion. Well, turns out the politician didn't, and so the politician was in league with the Daleks, right? That's how he got the Dalek bomb. No, turns out the politician was not in league with the Daleks. What happened was one of the rebels who had come back in time to stop the politician from blowing up all these other politicians, they have with them, of course, Dalek munitions. this rebel, they thought, the other rebels thought he was dead, but he didn't get killed, and he made his way to the politician's house with a Dalek bomb, and he set it to blow up, thinking he would kill himself, obviously, and kill the politician before the conference started. But the conference had been changed and was happening earlier than expected, and so it was the rebel with the Dalek bomb attempting to blow up the politician who actually blew up all the politicians at the conference, thus setting the stage for the Dalek invasion. Right, the time travel paradox. You go back in time to prevent the event, except that you going back in time is what actually caused the event to happen. Oh, such originality from Logan's run. And this was the biggest, this was of everything, this was probably the biggest flaw of the series, is just the stunning lack of originality that the writers came up with when they had the opportunity, because of the setting, to be original. Anyhow, one of the story editor for Logan's run is DC Fontana. DC Fontana was one of the people who worked on the original Star Trek. I've talked about her before because she's an example of women who can actually get off their ass and do shit. She started off season one as the chick who goes and gets coffee and brings it to people, and by the time they got to season three, she was a fucking story editor and a writer. She wrote some of the best Star Trek episodes. She wrote Journey to Babel, which is one of the greatest Star Trek episodes ever. And she was a story editor on this, and it's kind of sad because it's like, DC, why did you let this shit get through? Why? Why did you do this? Because you're better than this. You wrote Journey to Babel, one of the best Star Trek episodes ever. If you're not a fan of Star Trek, Star Trek, the original, you're thinking, all right, you think this shit is good. Why? What should I watch? Find the episode Journey to Babel and watch that one. Beautiful fucking piece of work. There's a little bit of violence, but there's no giant explosions. Nobody gets pregnant. Nobody's fucked. Nobody's raped. There's no bad language. It's not J.J. Abrams. The camera doesn't fucking shake all the time. It's a great episode. DC Fontana did a beautiful job writing that. Now, what's really funny, Logan's Run, in the show where they find the city full of robots who are going to force them to stay there and be served because, you know, we are robots and serving humans is what we do. One of the robots, the female robot, her name is Siri, like the Apple product, Siri. Her name is Siri, and one of her lines is, "We cannot allow you to leave." And I'm thinking, oh my God, I wonder if there's somebody at Apple when they were all sitting around going, all right, what are we going to call our little voice that we're going to put in the cell phone that's going to control your life for you? I wonder if there is somebody there who had seen Logan's Run and seen this episode and remembered this character named Siri and came up with Siri. But Siri is this militant female robot who isn't going to let Logan and Jessica leave because she's going to serve them whether they like it or not. I really do. I really do wonder. What do we got here? All right, then I'm doing shitty on time, so I'm going to have to fucking hold that off. I have to hold that off also. Let's see if I can get through the Avengers in the time that I have left. The Avengers. I watched Avengers Civil War. We talked about that. I watched The Avengers, the first movie, and then I watched Age of Ultron. Okay, The Avengers, the first one. First of all, I was really surprised at how good the movie was. I don't think it was as good as the first Iron Man or the first Spider-Man. The real first Spider-Man, not the second remake or the whatever. But for a superhero movie, most of which are pretty fucking terrible, The Avengers was not fucking bad. I was kind of impressed. Pacing was good. There was not a lot of boring, overly sappy shit. There was a little bit of overly sappy shit, you know, comic booky sappy shit, but it was kept to a minimum. I'm like, all right, this was not a bad fucking movie. And the helicopter crashed, and there was a time when the jet plane crashed, and they didn't explode into flames. Because in every movie, every time something crashes, it blows up. Which, of course, in real life, if every time an airplane or a helicopter or a car or a truck or a train crashed into something, if it blew up into giant fucking explosions, we'd all be dead by this point. So I'm like, all right, well, they got a little bit of fucking reality. Everything isn't blowing up. I like that. We have the normal problems. We're beating up Loki because Loki's the bad guy. And Loki's like, okay, I'll surrender. It's like, why would you... This is always bugs me about superheroes. Why would you let the guy surrender? You know this is going to be a problem. Just kill the motherfucker. Because they're looking for the Tesseract. And Loki knows where the Tesseract is. But it's like, Loki's not going to tell you where the Tesseract is. He's surrendering to save his life. He's still going to be dangerous. Just kill the son of a bitch. Don't accept his surrender. But I know you're superheroes. You gotta do what you gotta do. We got a code against killing. We don't kill people. Well, you're idiots. Black Widow. Remember I talked about Black Widow in Civil War? Lying and betraying everyone else? I see now where this comes. How do we not know she's a liar? So in the Avengers, in the first one, she's out there talking to Bruce Banner, right? And she tells Bruce, because she's trying to recruit Bruce Banner to come help the Avengers. And she tells him, oh, it's just you and me. There's nobody else here. And then turns out there's all these fucking soldiers outside. So she's a liar. She lies. Why is she lying? Then, of course, in Age of Ultron, she and Bruce Banner, jumping ahead of myself, but they start having a thing. She's got the hots for him. And that's the movie in which we found out that she was infertile. And remember when all the feminists went berserk at Josh? You know, the little fag boy Josh, who's all feminist and everything else, and the feminists went crazy? All right. The best quote from the Avengers is Loki, when he says, I wrote it down, quote, is it not the unspoken truth of humanity that you crave subjugation? You were made to be ruled. In the end, you will always kneel, unquote. Talk about nailing it. But without the government, who would build roads? That describes human nature perfectly. That's exactly how all of you are. You were made, the 99%. This is why democracy doesn't work. This is why I don't want to save you and all this other shit. The 99%, you were born to be slaves. You crave. You wake up, I've said this before, you people, you 99%ers, you wake up in the morning, you open your eyes, and as you get out of bed, you're waiting for someone else to tell you what to do. You, as Loki said, you crave subjugation. It's the absolute truth. Brilliant fucking quote. All right, The Avengers. I can recommend watching it. It is a much better movie than I expected. Much better than I expected. And my expectations were really low. The Avengers, Age of Ultron. Total piece of shit. Oh my God, the pain. Thank the fucking theater gods for the fast forward button on the DVD remote control. Age of Ultron was painful. Now, here's the good things I'll say about Age of Ultron. The scene where they're all hanging out after doing their victory celebration because they found the little wand that Loki had. And they've all had a few drinks and all the guys are trying to pick up Thor's hammer. That scene was very funny. I also have to say, and I saw the first Thor movie, and of course I've seen Thor in the other Avengers movies, I've never liked the Thor character. He's always just bugged the shit out of me. I couldn't get into it. I thought he's kind of a douchebag, so forth and so on. This movie was the only one where it's like, okay, you know what? Thor was pretty good in this movie. I actually liked his character. And of course, in The Avengers and in Age of Ultron, Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark saved the day. Again, the only thing that made Ultron watchable was Thor, believe it or not, because I don't like the Thor character. I don't like the way he's portrayed in the movies. But he pulled it off in this one. And I don't mean this as a slight against the actor himself. I just haven't liked the character until this one movie. And Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, of course, was awesome. The movie had way too much drama and trauma. People talking about their past and, oh, I'm scared and, oh, I'm infertile and, oh, I'm this and then my mommy and then, oh, my daddy was an alcoholic and just, oh, God. And that's when the fast forward button came out. The whole, you know, black, we got that. The shit tons of property damage. The absolute shit tons of property damage that were done in this movie. Hey, no wonder you guys had the kibosh put on you in Civil War. Like, Jesus Christ, can you stop doing some fucking property damage? Now, some of you out there say, great one. What do you, you know, it's how do you fight bad guys without doing property damage? Well, you do. You can. I know this. Because let me explain something to you guys. Before I was the Great One himself and the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society and always right and never wrong, I was a superhero. You say, what the fuck? No, I was. I was Dr. Fantastic. You say, who's Dr. Fantastic? Exactly. You know why you've never heard of Dr. Fantastic? Because when Dr. Fantastic and the Silver Avenger and the rest of our group were out kicking bad guys' asses, we didn't do shit tons of property damage, and we didn't murder a bunch of fucking innocent civilians. We could handle taking care of the bad guys without fucking things up. That's why you've never heard of Dr. Fantastic. And you're saying, great one, what are you smoking? I don't smoke marijuana, but I do play role-playing games. For 2 fucking years, I role-played Dr. Fantastic, and he was badass. And the number of civilians killed on Dr. Fantastic's watch is motherfucking zero. Okay? Zero. Property damage? Maybe a couple of thousand at the most, because we had our shit together. And speaking of shit, we're going to take it out.
I was watching Maury the other day, because it was just on. And this woman, she has a boyfriend, and he like works and provides for her, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm, and she went and got herself knocked up at a prison, because she worked as a prison guard.
Yes,
and she had
fucked
twins
by the prisoner.
This guy. Yeah, so twins. This guy, he's not even free. He's sitting in a cage, and he's perpetuating his genes better than the girl's boyfriend and getting him to take care of them.
Alpha male versus
like,
beta male.
That is some epic mating strategy.
Epic
and she
mating
wins too
strategy.
Because she gets, you know, she wins because she gets a stable dude to take care of some, like, alpha dude's kids.
Exactly.
Right? In that case, she wins and he wins and the guy loses. Or her boyfriend loses big time.
Because,
that's
yes.
When it comes to chicks, I just screw them and leave them. I say, get out of my bedroom, poontank, before you suck my life dry.
Trigger
all women.
This is all white men have ever
like
achieved or contributed to society or innovated or created. Everything. There.
We must all kneel before the irresponsible vagina echo chamber of single moms that are wonderful. Because, what, they can do it all, but if they can do it all, why the hell have their hands in my pockets? Where we're giving the most resources to the people who should have the fewest children. Where we're taxing the intelligent people to subsidize the breeding of the less intelligent people. And gosh, society is getting worse.
This is the theme song for the Yes, All Women Are Like That podcast.
Trigger beginning.
Number 11. They acquire pets instead of putting in the work to land a quality man. When a woman gives up in life, she buys a dog.
What have I told you about women with dogs? Don't listen to me. I have no idea what I'm talking about. 2 years as a superhero. No civilian casualties. Don't listen to me. Oh no, I don't know anything.
Trigger warning. Facts.
I have one simple question for the feminists out there.
What's that, Aaron?
Why is it? Hmm? Nearly 100%. I'm sure there's one or two of you out
there's
there.
That one
why is
woman,
it nearly
yeah.
100% of the feminist careers require my tax dollars to subsidize?
You're gonna need to think about this. Banking.
Trigger.
All feminists need.
It doesn't matter what you think.
Mm-hmm.
trigger warning.
Single moms are tough and independent. No, they're not. No, they're not even close.
It's a testament just in general to how you cannot rely on what girls say. It's sad. And a lot of girls are going to think this is bigoted or misogynist. No, this is what it has been. This is the empirical data. And I'm not going to disrespect myself or the experiences of other men who've experienced this. You don't rely on girls. They're unreliable. No.
That's why they're known as being flaky.
Trigger warning.
You get your bitch ass back in the kitchen and make me some pie.
What? Click on the bitch.
You, bitch.
Bitch.
Because, yes, all women are like that. The woman you heard in the introduction, if you haven't heard this story before, the woman you heard in the introduction, she is a woman who identifies herself as being an anarcho-capitalist, as being in favor of the non-aggression principle. She talks about that's epic mating strategy. In that same interview, she talks about how women should be allowed to physically attack men, but men cannot physically attack women because women are weaker than men.
Oh, hey, really? Women! Shut your mouth and make babies!
Yeah, don't fight with her. Just give her a spanking. I mean, look at Anita Sarkeesian. If she got spanked enough times, she'd lose some weight, she'd do something with her hair. I mean, she could have been attractive 10 years ago. It's too late now. She's hit the wall.
What is beautiful in a woman, what is attractive in a woman, is defined by men.
Exactly.
It is straight men that determine what is attractive in women.
That's not the patriarchy.
It has happened to me by accident. It's just a wild case of immaculate conception. I can't believe I have to bathe these kids. They should be able to dance on the water.
Number 14. They think that having a good job means that they are a quality girl and a good catch.
Right.
Newsflash. Guys don't care about your stupid office job or nonprofit gig.
We don't
care. That's how men are. Because we're a bit more goal-oriented. Women are all about protecting their feelings. Especially
feelings.
They're not about production. They're not about reality.
Yep.
They're not about progress. They are all about lying and then gaining on that lie for political advantage.
The Rock says you should know your role and shut your mouth.
Every woman who gets pregnant out of wedlock or without a committed man says, I was on 19 different kinds of birth control. I must have been taken up by space aliens and impregnated through my nose with a squid tentacle.